You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you. What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to another great edition of Pop Culture Fanatics, the only podcast for the fanatic inside of you. Today we have a special episode as we are going to be talking about the new Disney Plus show that's just come out this week, Miss Marvel, and all the controversy that's followed it as well too with episode one. I'm your boy Val Sisko, as always with me, my co-host Mr. J Rance. How you doing, buddy?
What's up? I'm good, brother. I'm chilling, man. Feels good to be back. Feels good to talk about some Miss Marvel, geek out, and have some fun here.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited for this. Hell, this was your idea after watching episode one because of the fact that Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, hits so home to you. This character resonates so much to you because in what, 2013, 2014, 15, back then, this character just basically came out of nowhere and had a lot of controversy just because she was a Muslim character. Now, you know, going our way to 2022, the show comes out and this beloved character, even after 10 years of its inception, of her inception, as a fictional character, by the way, is getting so much hate, so much discrimination, so much prejudice against this fictional character. That's kind of disgusting, and we're not going to go all negative into it, but we do want to discuss a controversy with this show and why people are hating it so much. So I'm excited for it because I know you love Kamala so much, and you know I've been growing into her character as well too. So let's deep dive into her, man.
Yes, yeah, bro. Like you said, even in the first inception of the comic book, this character just got so much backlash, and I just think it's the fact that people don't like different. You know, like once you throw them something completely different, oh, I don't like this. I don't want it. I don't want to give it a shot. Or however you feel about it, like whoever, you know, is thrashing this show for no apparent reason, because this show is amazing. Just one episode into it, I'm totally caught up. But it always comes back to, like I always say, like you remember 30 Days of Night when the vampire, the most exquisite line that I still remember to this day, he was like, humans, they always want to destroy what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always remember that, and that's how I feel that everybody is acting with this show, you know, because they're purposefully writing one star's review on Rotten Tomato or wherever they are, just bashing the show for no reason. Yeah, but man, I am glad that you're getting into Kamala Khan, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, an awesome reference with 30 Days of Night right there, one of my favorite movies. But Miss Marvel, man, you know, this miniseries, it's only going to be six episodes as well, too, created by Bisha K. Ali, streaming on Disney Plus based on the Marvel Comics character by the same name, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel. It's the seventh television series in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, produced by Marvel Studios, sharing the same continuity as all the films as well, too. Ali serves as the head writer with Adil and Bilal Fallah leading as directing team. So this show specifically, like we said, it's based on the Marvel Comics. A lot of things have changed with the character. Not so much, I want to say, the base form when it comes to Kamala herself, her mannerisms, her nerdisms. I loved all that. That thing, yeah. But I guess the biggest controversy from a comic book standpoint is her power set. Do you want to elaborate on basically her power set and basically what she is in the comic books?
Well, like in the comic books, if we were, you know, speaking accurately in the comic books, whoever read the comic books, we know obviously that she is an Inhuman. Mm-hmm. She got her powers through the Terrigen Mist by AIM. So that's, you know, what her power is. And I mean, it's kind of a little, like I said, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but I did like some things that I saw in the episode. So she got her powers, you know, through the Terrigen Mist. She has superhuman strength, morphogenetics, plasticity. You know, she's in Bigum. She stretches. She gets big with the fisticuffs and stuff. So, and here we see her acquiring her powers through a bangle. you know, a cosmic bangle in essence, and we see her shooting cosmic stuff out of her fist. We're like, okay, wait, what's going on here? But we do see like a little, you know, elasticity, I can't even pronounce that word right now, when she saves Zoe, when, you know, spoiler alert, right? We can spoil this right now.
Yeah,
right?
We can spoil it.
Okay, yeah. Like when she saves Zoe and AvengerCon from falling, we see her arm stretch out. So they're still sticking true to her power somewhat, but I guess, you know, they want to add some little new flair to go along with the whole, what they're doing with the Marvels and the cosmic universe and the quantum realm, I guess, etc. So, but yeah, virtually that's how she got her power.
And you know what? It's almost as beat by beat from the comic book itself. I mean, little minor changes. And we've seen a plethora of changes when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Not every character is the same or has the same origin as they do in the comic books. And we have come accustomed to that. And we have grown to appreciate that. Sometimes change is good. And sometimes certain changes make the character even better. So, you know, not to say that this is better or worse right here, but I did see some similarities. Like you said before, the party in Jersey City, which she had by the Bay Area in Jersey City, that's replaced with, you know, an AvengerCon, almost like an A-Day from the Avengers game as well. Kind of mirrors that, but we still have the fangirl presence. We still have Zoe. We still have a lot of characters that we see from the comic book as well, too. The family presence, her brother, you know, praying like he does in the comic book as well, too.
Yeah, that's what I really enjoyed about episode one. Like, they really kept it comic book accurate. Of course, they did some tinkering, but they really kept it comic book accurate because in the comic book, obviously, she saves Zoe from drowning. Her brother is always praying and he's very, you know, like supportive and loving her. And we saw that come through in the episode one where he was like, I'll talk to you know, Abu and Ami for you so you can go to AvengerCon, stuff like that, bring her tea, you know. So even when she snuck in at night at 11, that's in the comic, you know, when she snuck to the party and came back and stuff. So the comic book accuracy is there. It's just tinkered up. I really enjoyed it. And I like, you know, it's like a whole vibe. That's how I felt with this show. Like, they weren't afraid to shy away from the Muslim culture. Did you enjoy that? Did you felt like you were enveloped in Muslim culture?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like growing up in New York, and, you know, we have friends in New Jersey as well, too. Mm-hmm. We've hung out in Jersey City. We've, you know, one of our best friends lives in Jersey City / Union City. So to see that area, to see the diversity in that area from the Muslim culture, from the different little bazaars around there, from the different little shops you can go to.
The halal truck.
The halal trucks, you know, hit them complain about halal guys and how they sell extra packets. That hits home to us.
Because that's accurate.
It is. Like, we grew up with this. So, like, to see that, it hit home for me personally. I know it did for you as well, too. One thing that I guess we would have to see as the show progresses as well, too, is that even though with the Terrigen Mist and her power set's a little altered from the show to the comics, I still feel, and like I said, we're going to have to see episode 2, episode 3, episode 4 to see what happens. But I feel like her power set in the comic books also is allegory for just growing up, hormones, you know, puberty in a way as well, too. You know, you feel gross, you feel crazy, you feel nerdy, you feel out of place in the world. And, you know, I have a, you know, 18-year-old daughter right now, you know, God, you know, I love that kid, but I had to experience, you know, her growth as a young lady as well, too. So I know from firsthand experience how awkward that stage can be. And, you know, just seeing her in the comics, you know, sometimes her hand grows out of nowhere. Sometimes she has to hide herself from her emotions because when she gets too emotional, her powers expand as well, too. So I want to see what they do with her new power set in the show. If, you know, when she does get hormonal or she gets angry, upset, emotional, sad, you know, happy, you know, flirtatious. Does her powers kind of shine through in those moments right there? Can she keep it together? And like I said, that's all speculation. We don't know what episode 2 or 3 will bring us. But for right now, you know, it just seems like we got our base power set from the bangle. And even with that right there, too, let's even talk about that. And let's just give some shout-outs right here to Iman Vellani. She does a awesome representation for Ms. Marvel for Kamala Khan. Announced this character got so much backlash. This actress got so much backlash, and it's crazy because this is her first gig coming out of high school. She literally got the audition from WhatsApp. You know, her agent hit her up on WhatsApp and said, "Hey, this is available. Go for it." She's like, "Why not?" She fell in love with the character, and the screenwriters, the director, the creative geniuses behind Miss Marvel, just fell in love with her and her presence and her. What you see on screen is what you're getting in real life as well, too. That kooky little crazy fangirl, that's who Iman is.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and I think she captivated. I mean, she was doing cosplay like at the age of what, 15, 16, she was saying. Mm-hmm. She's 19. So, and they post pictures of her doing cosplay and how she absolutely fell in love and embodied this character. And it comes through across screen, even like when you don't see her, the voice, because you know that's how Kamala is. Kamala is very kooky. You know, even in the Avengers game, she's kooky. And like when she was, you know, describing the endgame battle and stuff like that, you heard the kookiness and the quirkiness and the facial expressions when they're walking down in the hall and stuff like that. And just the geeking out. I don't think they could have chose anybody else. I think she was born for this role. Like Rock says, I was born for Black Adam. Yep. I think she was born for this, man.
I think so as well, too. Now, going into the power sets, we definitely see, you know, the same as the comics. She's a fangirl, Captain Marvel, and she enters this cosplay contest, and, you know, with her and her best friend as well, too, just Bruno just trying to tinker and find a way to make that costume more elaborate than everyone else in the show. I love the fact that this bangle has some kind of mystery to it, and... yes, we can sit back and analyze what it is. I know we were doing it before the podcast. We were saying, is this like quantum physics? Like, is this cosmic? Is this magic? What is this power? Is the bangle itself power, or is it awakening something inside of Kamala?
Mm-hmm. And I was rewatching the episode today, and I wanted to discuss this with you. I guess we'll do it here. You know, what is this bangle? And I just want to know, where does this bangle come from and who had this bangle? Because obviously it's something that's been passed down generations, you know, because when you hear her mother talking with her after she fails her license or driving exam, she says, you know, this is just genetics. It comes from my family. Your grandmother, my mother, she said, was, you know, a wanderer like you, just living in your thoughts and stuff like that. So I'm like, huh, so who is the grandmother? Where did this come from? How did she come into this? You know, like even her mother obviously knows, not that it's trouble, but it knows something's up because she took it from her hand. This is junk. Closed up the box real quick and, you know, threw it in the attic. So I'm like super intrigued. The bangle itself, the power acquisition, it's just like, okay, I want to know what this is about. Like, you know, it's freaking amazing, bro. It got me caught up with the powers. And then when you see, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and then when you see those, like when she puts the bangle on AvengerCons and she kind of falls through that cosmic warp where she just flips around and then you see all those shadowy figures with the red eyes, that's another thing. Like, obviously, it's not from Earth.
So yeah, that's what's boggling me so much right now. Like, oof. And no spoilers to Doctor Strange or any other show right now. We won't do that for you guys. It's going to be very strange on what we do with her power set, because if we are doing something cosmic, what we've seen from Captain Marvel, the movie itself, like, if you're looking, I know we discussed this before the podcast as well, too, but, you know, I was kind of theorizing, all right, if it's cosmic, we are looking at two different things. We're either looking at the Kree Nation, which we saw in Captain Marvel as well, too, and their power sets as well, or we're looking at Skrulls, which Secret Invasion is actually happening as well, too, on Disney+. So... you know, I know they've been trying to accentuate the Skrull movement and that there's detractors from what we saw in the movies as well, too. There's good Skrulls, bad Skrulls. Is that too much of a stretch to say that this is a Skrull family? I think we both agreed that we would feel a little disgruntled if that was the case. But if it's a Kree family, how would you feel about that?
I mean, I would still feel a little bit disgruntled because, you know, it's kind of like... well, I mean, I feel like it's kind of just tripping away of what you're doing here, you know, like what you're doing with this character, what you're doing with this family, what you're doing with this project. So I feel like it's kind of almost a little failsafe, like a little fallback on maybe kind of like, okay, well, we don't want to go full backlash with this. We'll make you feel good. Oh, they're Kree's, you know, so I would feel it'd be a slap in the face to the actual fans that are super invested into this. And, you know, people that are of Muslim descent and that are super invested into this. Yeah, that's just me personally.
I could agree on that as well, too. And then, you know, from the original Captain Marvel, he does have cosmic bangles as well, too. Not like Kamala's that we see there, but his own versions that do have, that grant him cosmic energy that flows through him, that makes him the superhero that he is as well, too. So we could see something along those lines. But then again, we saw Marvel in Captain Marvel as well, too.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's very tricky, bro. Like, do you feel like they kind of backed themselves into a corner? I mean, obviously Kevin Feige is a freaking genius. Like, I'm sure he knows what he's doing or did. Like, do you feel like maybe they're in a corner?
Yes and no. I see, when Kamala Khan first came out and she first debuted, I feel like Marvel Comics were backed in the corner at that time as well too. 2013, you know, was when this character was created. And in that time frame, Marvel itself was trying to disconnect from the X-Men franchise. They were, you know, destroying the X-Men lineage altogether and replacing it with Inhumans. Hell, they went as far as to make Wanda and Pietro Inhumans as well too. Yeah. Like, no, they're not mutants, not at all. And they even retconned that as of now as well too. So I remember in 2012, 2013, the big movement was, let's put Inhumans on TV, let's put Inhumans in MCU, since we can't really mess with X-Men or mutants in general because they're owned by Fox. And that caused a huge craze because you're killing off X-Men characters. I remember when Cyclops died, Wolverine died, constant characters were just being executed. And we were seeing the rise of, well, not even really the rise, but more prominent roles, Black Bolt, Medusa, and a couple of other characters, Terrigen Mist, and just the influx of Inhumans that actually happened gave birth to Kamala Khan right here and her power set as well too. I felt like they backed themselves into a corner because they were trying to force the Inhuman category down people's throats, but it did bless us with this character right here. Now, 2022, we're not really even messing with humans because the MCU did that property so dirty, so dirty, so dirty that they have like kind of washed their hands with the idea of any kind of inhuman activity. So I don't know. Could this have been a proper way to introduce inhumans? Possibly, but I think they're trying to shy away from it, man.
I think they are because this is the perfect moment to introduce inhuman. Like, why would you not capitalize on this, you know? Like, that's her power. Unless it has to do something with, I don't know, maybe they're like, we can't do this, we can't do that on the screen, or maybe it's just too much.
Yeah. I think, I really, not to cut you off on that side, but I think the real reason, and this is just me speculating, not confirmed, I think the real reason, straight up, is that they want to connect her so close to Carol Danvers. And in a way where everything's cosmic. If you're going to be such a fangirl to Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, then we're going to try to make your power set as close as possible, especially with the Marvels coming out in 2023. We're going to have Rambo, Danvers, and her in this movie as well, too. Kamala Khan, pronouns, pal. you know, you want to kind of get these characters as similar as possible, I guess, right?
You're not wrong for thinking that, because I obviously, like, I felt the same way too, because I'm like, okay, you're shooting stuff out of your hands, you know, you're shooting stuff out of your hands like your idol, you know, like Captain Marvel. So I like that theory, and I'm like, yeah, I can see that, because I felt the same thing. I'm like, I guess they really want to make them closely super related, and how, whatever route they go with the Marvels, you know, obviously cosmic space, it's gonna probably, you know, be a little weird if we got her flying around in big fisticuffs and getting giant in space and doing stuff like that. So obviously they gotta tamper with her, you know, powers. So maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. And I think another thing that kind of, like I said, we haven't seen episode 2, 3, or 4, so we don't know the motivation behind the character besides her being, you know, just a nerd for the Avengers, which is still great. Mm-hmm. But the crux of her character, why she appreciates Carol Danvers so much or Captain Marvel so much, is the strength, is the femininity as well too, is as a woman of power, being able to stop threats on her own without anyone's help. That right there is why she's inspired by Captain Marvel so much. Doesn't mean that she doesn't look at the Hulk or Tony Stark or anyone else any less. It's just she resonates with that character because of her strength. Now we're looking at this in this way with the show, where it's more about power sets. Like, I'm as close to you as possible from a power level. I could shoot things, I could do this, I could do that. And that kind of still a little bit, just a little bit, like I said, we don't know the rest of the show, but it does make me feel a little meh, because I want that inspiration of inner strength to come out of Kamala, not because she has powers, but because she sees Carol Danvers as an inspiration of strength.
Yeah, that's what's freaking awesome, you know, like she looks at her because of that. And I even love that because they carry that over in the Avengers, you know, the game where, remember, she's talking to Thor, that she's reciting he or whoever holds his hammer, and she pauses like, no, she as well, yeah. You know, so I like that as well. But I don't know. It's just very weird, bro. It's very weird. I mean, I guess I can see what you're saying. I want to ask you, I know you love this about episode one, that we didn't have a big bad. We didn't have like the arch nemesis or anything like that. Like, what directions do you think they're going? Who may they bring out or what?
Man, you know, it is very refreshing. I will say that, because you put the character in the forefront. It's not about who the next big bad is. It's not about we're setting this up or setting that up. It's, here's our character, lover or hater. She's a girl from Jersey City. She's a little awkward. She loves the Avengers. And she's getting a shot at some powers right now. But at the same time, she's still getting gaslit by her family. Like any other family right there, whether you're from a Pakistani family or a Hispanic family, we all feel our parents kind of throwing that weight on our shoulders at a young age as well, too. So I think that first episode is just to establish how relatable this character is to the average teen out there, to the average 14 to 20 year old person out there that sees this, that deals with this on a daily basis. Yes, maybe in the big bad, quote unquote, isn't a person. Maybe just life in general brings you down. And yeah, you get the Spider-Man aspect. With great power comes great responsibility. What are you gonna do with this power now? That's what I'm interested in. Rather than seeing a big bad, it's like Kamala Khan, fangirl, now has fangirl power. What is she gonna do with it? That could be good or bad. She can get herself into more trouble than she already is, because we saw her sneaking out and doing mischievous things as a teenager does. But now that she has power, and now that other people know that she has power as well too, what drama is that going to cause her and her family as well too? So family's a big thing. But if we had to really speculate a big bad, there are a couple of things out there. We saw in the end credits, you know, spoiler, hey guys, we saw Damage Control at the end trying to look for more power heavy people that are causing damage around New York City or Jersey City for that. We see her best friend Bruno. And this is very interesting as well too, because like we were talking about before the podcast as well too, one of Ms. Marvel's first villains was this guy named the Inventor as well too. Very, very, very much a convoluted character, if you say so. Like, he's like half a clone of Thomas Edison. He's half a clone of Thomas Edison. Yeah. And the other half of a bird. And this guy is just like the jackal around here, but a bird, just very smart, trying to kidnap people and experiment on them. I don't think we're gonna get that, but a person with the name Inventor, you see her best friend Bruno inventing a lot of things throughout the first episode, whether it's things for himself, whether it's the Alexa ripoff that he has. What's it called again?
Zuzu, I think. Zuzu. Yeah, one of the Zuzu, yeah.
That right there. the power gloves as well, too. And this is a person that's very creative and takes his projects very seriously as well, too. We saw that he wanted to get into Caltech as well, too. You know, he gets very offended when Kamala leaves the power gloves inside the bathroom, forgets about them. So there's something strange about this character who's very protective of his own work, but at the same time very supportive of his best friend as well too. So I would keep my eye on this character.
Yeah, I like that. I was just thinking and dissecting, and you know, she has a lot of freaking, like, you know, cool enemies and stuff like that that they can roll with, you know. Hell, even Captain Marvel becomes kind of her arch rival. Remember in Civil War 2 they had to choose a side, so they had a falling out. So, you know, that's pretty freaking cool. I want to see if we explore that down the line. But, you know, I was thinking, and there's this one character called Discord. And he's actually in her school, you know. So just now with what you said, you know, maybe the forgetting of the gloves. What's his name again? Joshua. What is it? Joshua something? Joshua Richardson. There you go. He plays football. Maybe he finds him. You know, they're like photon gloves. He discharges, you know, like electrical power out of his body. So or maybe that's just me reaching right now, but it's something I would say is very simple to do along with the inventor, like you said.
Yeah, so, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities right there. And I love how you're speaking about Carol Danvers and her misfortunes with Civil War II, and how she came off such a non-likable character from that comic book series. And I hear from a lot of people, like especially people that read comics today, they're like, man, that Civil War, it's not like the first one where you kind of are hating on Tony and a couple of people. No, like Carol's making some real righteous decisions and rubs people off the wrong way. We're seeing that not as prevalent in the MCU, but we are seeing people that do look at Carol Danvers and look at her as a threat or someone that they do not trust. You know, you saw that in WandaVision with the Rambeau family and just the repercussions of being with someone that has so much space radiation, how that can affect a family. And you see someone who should have been Carol Danvers' idol, you know, should have been like a fangirl to Carol Danvers, but after the death of her mother, and now that she has her own power set, she is someone that kind of despises Captain Marvel. At the same time, with her new power set, could be even be an equal or a threat to her as well too. So even in, like, you look at from S.H.I.E.L.D. to other aspects in the MCU, people are looking at Carol Danvers in not the best light. Is that the best way to go with this character right off the rip? Or would you have liked to see, I don't know, more of a helpful Danvers, more of a Danvers that is that goody two shoes, that's, you know, that's blue chip right there?
That came out of left field. I'm done. You got me. Yes and no. Because if you kind of just keep her like blue chipper, yes man, you know, yes woman, doing everything, and just
you got
like
Sam Wilson. On your left.
You know, so it kind of plays into those realms, and we already have, like you said, we already have a Sam Wilson, so we don't need another one kind of being like that. I mean, I do like it because immediately, like you said, that's a great point that you insinuated, where a lot of people already see her as a threat, you know. And even in the MCU, we saw her like, hey, why weren't you here, or she came in late, and she's very like, you know, well, there are more people out there to save besides you.
It's true.
You know, so like, pose her as a threat already, like, and she's super powerful. You're kind of just like, you know, making some interesting mixtures and, you know, stuff. I'm trying to find a word for it, but I can't find a word.
No,
but
yeah,
I think it's good, like, you know, that they're portraying her like that.
Yeah, you really are putting her in a gray area where,
yeah, there,
yes,
you go.
She can be Earth's help, like her that final calling, that ace card of someone's sleeve, like we saw in Endgame. But at the same time, though, she's not as consistent. So why should you celebrate her? You know, because the one case right now, Eternals, we have freaking Celestials out there grabbing people like it's nobody's business. You know,
broad daylight.
In broad daylight, while people are fucking walking dogs, excuse my French. You know, could have been a good Carol Danvers moment right there, running through somebody's freaking arm, like, ah, Celestial, I got you.
Yeah,
no.
It could have, yeah. I'm a crack your seed.
Gonna give this Earth an abortion right now. Don't cancel me.
I'm done. But no, I like that because, you know, low key you can play around with like another baddie. You know, just have that idea in the back there if you want to do that, and it sets up Civil War as well. You know, we had Civil War already. You know, and we can set that up. So I like how she's being portrayed, man. Honestly, the cutscene though, you're gonna say something.
Yes and no. I, you know, there's one thing that with the cutscene, with the end credit scene as well too.
Yeah.
With damage control.
Yeah.
I do like how there's accountability in this universe, because we always talk about that when reading comics as well too. Whether it's DC, Image, Marvel, that shit can get wrecked. You know, we look at freaking Man of Steel and all the freaking destruction that him and his, that movie, and there was no repercussion. There was like mass destruction on a terroristic level, but we're all dandy now.
Daily Bugle's out.
Unfortunately, Zod paid for that.
Daily Planet, excuse me. But, yeah, Zod paid for that. Yeah. Zod paid for that. Snap it a neck.
Bro, I got so pissed off because low-key, I mean, I wasn't around for the, what's his name, Christopher Reeves. That's his name, right? Yeah. Mm. Obviously, I wasn't around for that Superman, so, you know, that's not my Zod. I love this guy. I forget his name.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah, he is an incredible actor, and he played a beautiful, phenomenal Zod. And then just to see him get bitched out like that, I'm like, okay, nah. Screw you, Superman. Screw
and,
you.
And you didn't get a nod either.
And I didn't get a nod, yeah. But we got Shorty, though, so I guess I was kind of happy with that. But still, we ain't getting no non, bro. But anyways, wrong universes.
It's okay. We're clashy. Multiverse of Madness right here. Freaking Damage Control, I do like the fact that they're taking accountability into these actions. And whether it's the smallest thing or biggest thing, they're assessing these damages as well, too. You know, they're coming from, you know, Spider-Man / Marvel Universe as well, too. So I like to see that cross-contamination happen here. And I want to see what they're speculating with Kamala Khan and how they go about it. It's very interesting, those two characters and how they're being introduced in the cutscene. So maybe there are bigger things to come our way when it comes to these two characters. Let me ask you this. Before we get into the biggest controversy and just all the stigmatisms that are happening with this show from the outside universe, from Twitter and everything else in the world, what was your favorite part about this first episode? Like, what had you hooked?
Oh, what had me hooked? Well, first of all, one of the most epic intros for any Disney show or MCU show. You got Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. That just started off so epic. Immediately, you drew me in with all the fan fiction stuff when she was obviously talking about the end games, all the little paper cutouts and stuff like that. And it just showed how much of a fangirl she is, and we kept true to that in the show. She has, you know, her YouTube channel, Baby Sloth Productions, and she's just out there geeking out. So I'm like, okay, I'm here for that. The culture grabbed me. Like I told you, it's a whole vibe, it's a whole mood. We didn't shy away from the halatrug, from the brother constantly praying, to the family, to the vibes, you know, like how these how their culture is very strict. You know, they didn't shy away from it. Like, they're very strict with their kids. They want their kids to do good, of course. Obviously, that's why they protect them and stuff like that. So all that was awesome. It enveloped me. It's bright. It's a colorful show, you know, because when she's rolling down the street in her bike with her friend, with this dude, you're seeing everything that they're talking about being played out on the walls and stuff like that, and drawings and everything. It's very a colorful show. The aesthetics are dope. Bro, the music, I even Shazam one of the music, like when she got denied to go to AvengerCon, the little lo-fi that came up, I like the soundtrack. It's just a whole mood and a vibe, and a lot of it just grabbed me up from the beginning, man, and they didn't shy away. And you know, your boy Yusuf, I guess he's the little comedy relief. He was funny, so, you know, he busted in with the Hulk. But those are really, I think, just the fact that you really are not shying away from Muslim culture with all the issues that y'all have and the hate that y'all get. It's really coming through, and I think that really grabbed me up because it's something different. What grabbed you up?
Yeah, the xenophobia is definitely prevalent in this show. But, you know, I'll accent what you're saying right here and just kind of more condensed, just a little bit more. It's the tone of the show, because in my opinion, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but this first episode, that this show is just about Kamala Khan, and no one is taking that star away from her. No one's taking the shine away from her. Every scene she blows up in such a perfect way, and you are captivated by her performance from start to finish, from that epic intro to the end as well too. You're feeling for this character, your eyes are glued to this character and her struggles throughout this episode as well too. When you look at all the MCU shows that come out for Disney Plus, look at WandaVision, yes, it's Maximoff, but at the end of the day, Vision is taking a lot of spotlight from that. Loki, hell, Owen Wilson's character and Sylvie are taking a lot of the spotlight. Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're both kind of bouncing around each other. Even Hawkeye, your Clint, and you know, even though it's a Kate Bishop show, Clint's taking some spotlight. Hell, the Kingpin took spotlight in the last two episodes. So it's like
this, and we don't know the next couple of episodes as well too, but I know in this first episode, if this is the tone for the entire series for next six episodes or five episodes, excuse me, I feel like they have cracked the code to make one singular character mean something and not have to put other relieving characters just to get by. I mean, you could say Appa as well too, and the parents, that they could be comedic relief as well too, or they just bounce off each other really well. But at the end of the day, you're focused on Kamala, A-Day, or the Avengers Con. She's over there, you know, doing everything from A-Day, from the game as well too, from, you know, the Mjolnir, you know, test strength, the whole gloves, and all this stuff. Everything from there, it's focusing on just Kamala, her fan fiction of dressing up as Captain Marvel and doing all these flips and stuff like that. You're focused on her, even when the focus is not on her, and there's these side characters like Zoe or like Bruno as well too. Yes, you are semi-invested in a way, but you're only invested because you want to see how Kamala reacts with them.
You know who stole the show from Kamala? The dude that was dressed up in the Miss Marvel jumping around on the stage. That dude stole the show. Bro, I couldn't stop. I'm like, what are you doing, my man? But you know, you're right though, because even if it's not an important shot, but like they tend to do something with the camera that just focuses on her, you know? So like she has that spotlight. You can tell it's about her, bro. Honestly. And that's great that we do that, man, because all the other shows do feel convoluted, because especially Captain and Winter Soldier, you got bouncing back between Sam and Bucky, you got the U.S. agent, you got Flag Smashes, so it's like just jumping around everybody. But yeah, I do like that.
Before we get to the controversy, do you feel, okay, are you confident that they are going to stick the landing with the channel? Because I know our biggest issue when it comes to the MCU series on Disney Plus is that they don't necessarily stick the landing that good. Now, you could say COVID, you could say convoluted writing, but I think the only one that probably did justice was Hawkeye.
Yeah, you're right. I think Hawkeye was the only one that did justice. I think looking back, my memory's terrible. I don't remember how long WandaVision was and Winter Soldier, but I think they're starting to get the landing because these are just like six shot episodes. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think having a number in their mind, they kind of know how they want to play out and stick the landing. And hell, maybe, you know, like how some people write books where they start from the ending to the beginning. Maybe that's what they're doing with just these six episodes. So I think six is good and it's going to help them to, you know, hit that landing. What do you think?
I think so as well too. I think you know, when you have a directing team that's so invested with the character, when you have a creative team that's so invested with this character and the culture, when you have a direction of a teenage character coming into her own, you know, I feel like they really can't do wrong. I think the only thing that can happen, we'll talk about right now, because we can pivot right now to this and segue, is the culture of the audience and how the culture of the audience can change a direction for any kind of character. You know, I'll say this, I said it before and I'll say it again. The fact that fans bullied a studio into changing a character's design, like Sonic, how horrendous it was, I get you. Having human teeth in the hedgehog, very weird, I get that. But it was the artist's interpretation. Yeah. It was their creation to give you that. And whether you liked it or not, it's not your job to bully someone else's artistic vision. So I think once people, trolls, found out that they can alter a show, alter a movie, alter a direction of a company, they just ran rapid. And now everything is an opinion. And if it's not an opinion you agree with, you are canceled. You're brought down. You are hurt. You're a villain. And that person's a hero because they're a social justice warrior. I'll say it. That's what it is. Like, oh, I don't agree with this. Oh, how dare you? You're the one that that brought up that Christian post, that alt-right Christian post. No offense to the Christians out there, you know. But hey, that post alone. Go for it.
Christians against Marvel. Cancel me. I'm already canceled. Screw that noise. Screw y'all with all that nonsense. Y'all want to sit here, hide behind y'all Bible, spew hate. It don't work like that, man. It don't work like that because the Bible preaches love, you know? So you don't get a free pass spewing your hate and then just I'm gonna hide behind my Bible. No, man, that's not love, you know. And like you said, bro, it's Twitter has given people so much power. Look, they just bullied Sony to bring back Morbius,
and it bombed.
Nobody went to see it, and you know it's crazy, bro, how much power Twitter, social media has over these companies. Like you said, this is my vision. I don't care. Love it or hate it. You shouldn't get bullied by people's words on social media. It don't work like that, man.
And listen, we're going to address that elephant right here. We're going to rip that Band-Aid off. The comic book industry, the fandom of comic books, they're all gatekeepers. No. Every single one of them. I won't say every single one. But 98%, I will say that's a strong number right there. I will go and die on that hill and say that 98% of comic book lovers, readers, collectors, they're all gatekeepers. Because at the end of the day, when you're trying to get into something new or some change happens, the first thing they do is cry and moan and disparage that vision. Now, Can you agree with everything? But do you need to scream at the top of your lungs how much you hate something and how much you despise something? And because of the fact that you don't agree with the principles of what that creator's doing, you're just going to stop reading, give up on the product, give up on the industry, and go on and just disparage it as much as possible? Who the fuck gave you that power? Who the fuck gave you that right? At the end of the day, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And you know what? Most of the time, they're full of shit.
Yeah, bro. And it's just a sense of entitlement. Like you said, if you don't like it, that's it. I don't like it. But you don't got to sit here, like you said, rage at the top of your lungs on Twitter. Oh, yada, yada, yada. You're giving me a Muslim Pakistani character. Screw you. You know what? What comes out in the show is not that far from the truth. You know, all the racism and the disrespect that you see from Zoe. Hey. It's validated because look at what you're doing on Twitter.
Yeah, that's you right there.
That's you right there. So come on, bro. Like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You can have your opinions. Yes, I get it. But you don't got to go out there and just disrespect. Look at what's happening with freaking Reva from Kenobi getting attacked racially as well, man. Like, you don't have to like her. But don't sit here and go attack another human being just because you're petty or you have some sense of entitlement. Oh, I have a keyboard. I'm on the other side. I can say whatever I want, man. Bro, it's just not right.
And I think it just hits home to me, too, because raised in New York. Mm-hmm. And we had to first deal with firsthand experiences with 9/11 and the xenophobia that came out of that. And seeing how... growing up in the Bronx and seeing that, you know, predominantly a mixed area, whether you're West Indian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're, you know, Dominican, Puerto Rican, doesn't matter what you are. It's a sancocho. It's a mixed fucking bag right there. And, you know, half the store owners were Middle Eastern and how we had all relationships with them, good or bad. Mm-hmm. It was a relationship no matter what. And to see the xenophobia that came out of that right after 9/11, you're a terrorist, you're a terrorist, you're going to bomb me, you're going to do that. We had to experience that shit right then and there as young kids growing into that and seeing how the world turned their back on just a class of people for another person's vision on what terrorism is. So it was tough right there. I can imagine that stigma carrying on from then, from 2001 all the way to 2022. And how people's perceptions of another race, nationality, creed, origin, still to this day, people disrespect them for no reason but that they're different.
Yeah, bro. And people can't understand different. And that's the thing. Like you said, I can't imagine like the pain these people endure. Like you said, bro, 2022, they still got to deal with this stuff. Like when you think, we're in a 2022 generation where people should be, I don't want to say the word woke, but we should have more knowledge to what's going on around in the world and
respect.
Some stuff, you respect. Know, and but no, it's like, nah, bro, we're still closed-minded as ever, if not worse right now, because now the new xenophobia goes against the Russians, you know, now it's Russians. So it's wild, man. It's a little sickening, you know, like, you can't enjoy a show, you can't have fun, you can't geek out where everything that you see on social media is just negativity. Like, I got on, bro, like I told you, every post, screw Miss Marvel, that joint was trash, oh, it was whack, a fucking brown superhero, I don't need that, why do I need to see that, da-da-da-da. Really?
Let me just rephrase this as well, too. That 98% I'm saying, I'm not calling y'all racist. I'm not calling all of y'all racist. Because at the end of the day, some of y'all might be closed or open as it is, but the other part of it is that they're just hating just to hate. We see it all the time that trolls, whether they're online, whether they're anywhere, they're like, I just posted because I want to see how bad it gets. I just want to do it because I want to do it. You know, I just want to post a bad review to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are we doing here? For what? You're just causing chaos just to cause chaos? Like, what fucking gives you the right to go out there and just cause destruction in life?
You're right, bro. And it's crazy because out of everything, I would have thought, you know, people can relate to this character. Whatever your ethnicity is, whatever your gender is, whatever you get down with, whatever, however who you are, whatever your race is, this is one of the most relatable characters done for us, and you disrespect it, you know? Because everybody, I defy anybody to sit here and say, you know, they can't find a little bit of themselves in Kamala Khan, bro. From Growing Pains, from, you know, accepting who they are, from everything, bro. You know, social injustices, discrimination. Come on,
for being a nerd, for being a fan of comic books or heroes.
Half of that shit we dealt with, bro, because now that you're saying that, I remember when we went to the Midtown midnight signing for the Justice League after the reboot. People were looking at us and spewing hate. Oh, y'all standing online for a comic book? Yeah, nerds? Yeah. Like, come on. You know? And it's still prevalent in 2022, and it's shame. It's a shame that we're still living like this, and I've lost, like I told you off the podcast, I don't care, I'll say it, I've lost all faith in humanity, bro. Never gonna change.
And it's getting worse as the days go by. We saw a lot of hate for America Chavez and just a lot of uneducated people just going up in arms because she is a gay character and she is Hispanic as well too, and she is so powerful. Why would a Hispanic be this powerful? Why would a Hispanic teenager be, what kind of a name is America if she's not even American? First of all, you stupid motherfuckers, America is not a fucking country, okay? North America and South America, fucking continents, bro.
We're continents.
Fucking continents. Oh my god.
It's like I said, bro, people just can't do different. People, a lot of this stuff also comes from men. They feel super emasculated when they see a woman in a strong position. She-Hulk? I, for one, yeah, look at She-Hulk, bro. Look at She-Hulk. They're disrespecting it. The CGI, the this and that, and da-da-da-da. Bro, She-Hulk is one of the most beloved characters, and y'all just want to find something to crap on. Y'all couldn't find nothing because that trailer was phenomenal, so you had to resort to the CGI. Yep. Get the hell out of here, bro. Yep.
But you know, and you know what, to our white listeners out there, you know, we love y'all, but no disrespect to y'all, but if they came out with Squirrel Girl, this miniseries tomorrow, no one would care.
I would care.
No, I mean, I would love it, but no one would fucking care as far as disparaging.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, of course not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to see the same energy. I want to see something, bro, because, bro, like, nobody would care. Oh, she's white. She has the most white name, Doreen. You know? So, bro, come on, man. Like, it's sad, bro. It's sad. It honestly
is. It is. And I really do hope that, and we've seen this with Disney as well, too, that Disney doesn't give two fucks. They could be reactive on some things, but when it comes to the MCU, they stick to their guns. And I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if anyone wants to protest, if wants to fucking make fucking petitions out there. At the end of the day, your hero right now from Jersey City represent out there from the other side of the pond, right across the bridge and tunnel. She is a Pakistani Muslim character. Proud to be that, and this bitch can get down with all the Avengers, okay? So fuck that.
She's been in multiple groups, she's been an Avenger, so y'all gonna have to eat it. Kamala Khan is here, she's been here, you know, it's not even her arrival, she's been here since 2013, bro. So get over it, you know, like, come on, bro.
Is there any last bit of energy you want to throw into this podcast about Kamala as we go in?
Ooh, I'm gonna spew some hate. That's what I'm gonna spew. It's not playing. Nah, man, I'm hyped, bro. I'm hyped because you know me, like you said, this is a beloved character. It resonates with me for personal reasons as well, you know, for her being different physically as well. So I'm all for it and I can't wait, man. And I just want to see more of her in the MCU. I want to see her more in shows, more in comics, more in games, everything, bro. I think this is a character that they should just fucking skyrocket, man, because it's different. Different is good.
They will. You know, they already, Kevin Feige has a plan in action. And I think the dude, for the last, almost 20 years, he has been spot on with these characters. Whether or not, whether they're different from the original inception of the character, they all pretty much have been hits. And even the ones that are not so much hits, they're still beloved by a small community. I'm a guy that loves Thor: The Dark World. I'm a guy that loves the weird fucking movies out there that Marvel throws at us. Because why not? Where else are we going to get a weird movie like Thor: The Dark World fighting fucking Malekith the fucking Dark Elf?
That's why you love it, because of Malekith the Dark Elf, bro.
Let's go! Like, where else am I going to find that shit? Nowhere else! So... why not? Like, fuck that shit. I get so pissed off at people that are like, that one was so good. Fuck you.
And then, nah, bro, that movie is great, bro. And that's the thing, though. People just don't embrace change, because how long are we going to keep doing Steve Rogers, Iron Man, Black Widow, this, that? We have to evolve. We have to grow, you know? We have to step out of our comfort zone. I, for one, I told you off the podcast, I don't see it. But I, for one, really can't wait. And I hope we do see Young Avengers, man, down the line.
Why not? At this point, why not? Bro, people fucking complain so much because they're entitled and they're so opinionated. We have comic book, not just movies. We have franchises, okay? Who the fucking thought we would have that? We thought we probably was getting a random Batman movie here and there, a random Superman or Spider-Man movie, and call it a day. We are living in the day and age where people like fucking Drax's Destroyer is on our fucking movie theater screen. We are living in a day and age where Black Adam is a fucking movie star. Aquaman is the most fucking beloved character in the DCU right now. We are living in that age right now. And you have the fucking nerve to complain where we're at? The fuck out of here. Before 2012, I was like, yo, that Mayan calendar is right. If we are about to die, let me just fucking watch Avengers. At least I got there. And I did. And I was happy. I was fucking content.
When Avengers first, I was fucking content. But can you go back to the day when Avengers first came out, bro? It was something very groundbreaking.
Yep.
Like you said, we just had comics. This was the thing. Now we're getting it on the silver screen, and it feels amazing, bro, that we get to see these characters being played out, man. And I remember that first day. It was just, bro, groundbreaking, bro. Like, and for people to complain, funny thing is, they're still going to complain and they're still going to go watch it. So shut up.
Yep.
You know?
Fickle.
Sit down and watch it. Yeah, bro.
Fickle. Oh, y'all fickle. Anyways, it's been real doing this, man. We're not going to do an episode by episode when it comes to this. But maybe when everything does clear out and the season does finish, maybe we could do a retrospective of the actual season and what our thoughts are for the.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm with it, bro. Yeah, I just wanted to do this because I just wanted to get our views, our opinions out there. And just, you know, if you're listening to this and if you disagree, I'm about to drop some heat. I don't care. If you disagree with whatever we said, if you have a pet peeve with this show, hit us up on PCF. Your boy's going to drop the links personally at me, your boy digital_dreams_. I will give you a piece of my mind personally off the podcast, and I want to hear your emotions and feeling as well. I want to know why you feel so belittled and emasculated by a Muslim superhero.
Yeah, and you know what, and if you have an actual logical conversation, we're down to listen to it. You feel like this it just boggles your mind that the fact that they didn't get the power set right, or certain aspects of the character are not as what you wanted from the comic book as well, then yeah, okay, maybe a valid reason. But again, episode one is where we're at right now. We'll let it flow through. We'll see what happens, okay? At the end of the day, it's a still ride. Get the fucking surfboard, go surfing, ride the waves, man. We're right there. Yeah.
enjoy it. Because at the rate we're living in, bro, we about to be on some V for Vendetta shit. We ain't even going to have TV.
I got what I got already. I got Avengers. I got fucking Endgame. I got Avengers Assemble with fucking people coming out of portals. Doctor Strange with fucking 10 arms. I got what I wanted. Okay? I got what I wanted. I don't need anything else. Okay? Now everything is just like... It's like fucking seconds after Thanksgiving. That's what it is. It's like leftovers. I'm good with that. But like, I got what I wanted. We're good.
You good. That's it. You satisfied. I don't need nothing else. Everything else is just cherry on top. What a
maybe from DC. You know, give me Blackhand finally and I'll be there. But like Marvel, what the fuck I need anything else for? Everything else now, I'm genuinely happy. I'm satisfied. You can do not so much wrong, but you really can't do anything bad, in my opinion, because you're satisfying an audience that has grown up with characters, old and new, and you're giving different perspectives from different cultures to the mass audiences. And you know what? People that live in Jersey City, those people that live in New York that are gay and Puerto Rican and have curly hair and dark skin, and don't feel like they belong because they're reading comic books, but that's not what Puerto Ricans do, or that's not what Muslims do, or that's not what West Indians do when they look at a character.
Sorry for cutting you off. You're absolutely correct, bro, because this is why this character resonates with us. We deal with this shit, bro. This is a true story, because when we used to come back home from Midtown, my mom used to fucking shit on my comics as well sometimes, bro. Like, oh, you waste some money on that.
We had friends that did that.
Dust and spit, huh?
We had friends that did that.
We did have friends too. Yeah, look at that. Even within our own group. So yeah, bro, that's why this character is beloved to us. And I know Jersey City's riding high right now, bro.
I hope so. I really do. I do hope so. But that's enough of that rant right there. I went full savage for no reason.
Where?
I'll drop the links right here. I'll drop the little fucking information. PCF, Pop Culture Fanatics. You can find us on Twitter at PCF Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at PCF Podcast as well, too. And Pop Culture Fanatics. Pop Culture with a hyphen in between that. That is on all podcast platforms.
Like so Spider-Man?
Like Spider-Man. That's another motherfucker over there, okay? Because when it's fucking Peter Parker, no one has a fucking problem with it. When you get a fucking Boricua dark-skinned guy, it's all rage against the machine, right?
Y'all can switch up between like 10 different Spider-Mans and not say nothing.
Ben Reilly, Kane, all this shit.
Yeah. But when it's the Puerto Rican Jamaican brother Miles Morales, you know, Puerto Rican as well, like, oh my God, that's not my spider. Look at that. But see, that's one thing that Marvel don't even got the balls to give him the official mantle. They got to make him like fucking Spider-Man in Universe 2099 and shit.
Our Spider-Man can't eat tostones, oh shit.
Can't eat carne frita. No.
God forbid he drinks a fucking manta waiting for the A-Train or some shit. The fuck out of here. Pissing me off.
I'm done. He said can't eat no tostones. I'm done. But continue.
Lucha Val Cisco on Twitter, if you want to hit us up. Jay already gave his credentials out there. Yeah, please hit us up. Please challenge the throne right here, because we will fucking make you bow real quickly.
Well, hell yeah. We about to make you bow like Cody Rhodes. I don't like that guy, friend, wrestling fan, listening.
The King Booker.
King Booker. Yeah, I'm about to give you the pinky.
Anyway, guys, we appreciate you guys for listening, and on to the next one, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Hell yeah, man. Awesome, bro. I had a blast, and everybody take care, brother. It's always a pleasure.
Take care, man. Later, man.